Welcome to the Grace Point Church Podcast. This is a podcast where you'll hear audio content from Grace Point Church, located at 319 West Georgia Road, Simpsonville, South Carolina.
In this episode, Pastor Ben continues his sermon series, Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. This is part 6. Let's listen in.
We are continuing in the book of Joshua. We're looking at Joshua's faith journey and what it teaches about us. If I'm not mistaken and I'm counting correctly, we're actually at sermon number 6, believe it or not. And we probably will have, James will want to know this, I think one more, perhaps two. So kind of track with me and we'll see how it goes in our series, Faith Journey, Encouragement from Joshua. So we found Joshua at this place, and where did we start? Well, first of all, we saw that it was getting there. He stood on the precipice of the rest of his life. He stood at a place of faith where he had to take the next step to cross over the Jordan, to go into the promised land, to take the mantle, if you will, of leadership from Moses, because God had said that Moses would stay behind and not be able to make it into the promised land. So Joshua takes the reins. And he has to step out in faith and trust God to follow him to get there. And so we know the story, and he made it. And then there were obstacles that he faced because, you know, they came to the city of Jericho. And as you know, Jericho was just a place that seemed impossible for them to overcome. But God was gracious. Not only was he gracious, God told them, instructed them. And Joshua followed to the letter everything that God said. And God overcame the obstacles. And the walls were flattened. And they walked in and they took the city. But then they did what so many of us do. And they found themselves getting a little cocky, a little self-assured. And thinking, you know, we got this now. We are the bomb. We are the cat's meow. We can do this, right? And they found themselves in a resounding defeat at Ai. But God, as God is prone to do, he is always the God of another chance for those that he loves. Right? And they had the opportunity to step up and to begin again. And they went forward. And then we saw last week, we saw that even in deception, when they were facing the Gibeonites, and even in deception, God showed his grace and his mercy. And God honored the fact that Joshua honored his covenant and his word. And they went forward. And so now, then, that was chapter number 9. So chapters 10, 11, 12, and 13, for the most part, is a recounting of all the victories that God gave them and all the lands that were conquered and all the kings that came against them and they were able to overcome. And to find themselves in an incredible place. They got there because they trusted in the Lord and they followed his will for their lives. And they saw victory after victory. The land fell. They were persistent. They didn't give up. They acted on the word of God, and God brought miracle after miracle in the lives of the people. So then let's fast forward here to sermon number 6. And we'll be looking at conquering the mountains. We fast forward in this. The focus turns from Joshua to Caleb. Now, you remember Caleb. Who was Caleb? Caleb was one of the two spies, Joshua being one, Caleb being the other, of the 12 spies that went into the land way back from Kadesh Barnea, way back before the wandering in the wilderness. And they said, I know there are giants there. I know it seems insurmountable, but our God's bigger than him. We can take the land. But then the other 10 were like, no, we can't. It's impossible. We're like grasshoppers, blah, 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 blah. They turned the hearts of the people. The people refused to go, and then they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, right? All of those folks didn't make it into the promised land. But Joshua and Caleb did. God honored them, and God rewarded them for their faithfulness. So we find ourselves at this place. So let's go to chapter number 14. And beginning in verse number 1, we'll read through 1 through 6. These are the inheritances that the people of Israel received in the land of Canaan, which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the fathers' houses of the tribes of the people of Israel gave them to inherit. Their inheritance was by lot, just as the Lord had commanded by the hand of Moses for the 9 1/2 tribes. For Moses had given an inheritance to the 2 1/2 tribes beyond the Jordan, but to the Levites he gave no inheritance among them. For the people of Joseph were 2 tribes, Manasseh and Ephraim, and no portion was given to the Levites in the land, but only cities to dwell in, with their pasture lands for their livestock and their subsistence. The people of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses. They allotted the land. And so now we come to this place, and Caleb speaks up. Caleb speaks up. We see, first of all, Caleb's unforgotten promise. I love this. Look at verses 6 through 9. Here's what it says. Then the people of Judah came to Joshua at Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, in Kadesh Barnea concerning you and me. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. But my brothers who went up from me, went up with me, made the heart of the people melt. Yet I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land on which your foot has trodden shall be an inheritance for you and your children forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God." Sorry about that. I was a little late. "You have fully followed," or wholly followed, "the Lord my God." First of all, I want you to notice Caleb's unforgotten promise. Now stop and think about this for just a moment. We are talking about a man who had been through the wilderness journey with the people of Israel. He had seen the setbacks, he had seen the victories, he had seen the wandering. He had been one of the ones who ate the manna day by day by day by day by day. And he was going through all of this. He comes to this place, gets all the way to the place where they're seeing these victories, and things are happening and they're winning. And he gets to the place where they're lotting out the land. But then Caleb, even after all those years, 45 years, he stops and he remembers, oh, wait a minute, God made through Moses to me a promise. And he didn't forget it. He brought it back to his heart and mind. Can I remind you, child of God, what has God promised you? When you surrendered your heart and life to him and by faith trusted him and received the benefit of his grace, and he saved you by that grace, and he gave you the gift of eternal life, what has he promised you? He has promised you eternity with him in glory. He has promised you a place in heaven with the saints. He has promised you not only that, but that he will guide you and direct you, because he has given you the person of God, the promised one, the Holy Spirit, as we've already talked about, who dwells inside of you. He has fulfilled that promise. And oh, by the way, he also promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. You cannot outrun the grace of God. You cannot find yourself beyond the scope of the hand of God. He has promised that he would be with you no matter what. And you know, oftentimes I think we tend as children of God sometimes to get a little bit, what's the word I'm looking for? A little bit poor mouthed. A little bit whiny, right? And we get a little bit to the place where we start thinking, it's never going to work out for me. It's never going to happen for me. It's never gonna, never gonna, never gonna, never gonna. But God says, I have already promised you. So sometimes I think we need to be reminded that we need to look back on and trust the promise of a holy God. And look to him and remember that he has made us a promise. And just like Caleb, not only remind ourselves, but remind him and remind others that God has made the promise. And we need to trust. and trust Him. You see, we see Caleb's unforgotten promise, but not only do we see Caleb's unforgotten promise, but secondly, I believe there's something else here. We need to see Caleb's unfading confidence. Not only did he have the promise, and not only did he remember the promise, but he had confidence as well in the fact that he could trust in that promise. Look at verse number 10. "And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, just as he said, these 45 years since the time that the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel walked in the wilderness. And now behold, I am this day 85 years old." I think about that, 85 years old. He had lived long. He had endured much. He comes to this place, but his confidence did not waver. You know, perhaps he might have been prone to think, you know, it's been 40 years. You know, if I go back and I say, yeah, I want this particular land, you know, he might say, you know, Caleb might say, nah, Joshua might say, nah, I've kind of got my eyes set on that for someone else. Or maybe somebody else is more deserving after all these years. Maybe I shouldn't remind the Lord. Maybe I shouldn't bring that up. But no, he didn't do that. He had the confidence. Why? Because his confidence was not in himself or his own strength. His confidence was in the Word of God. And he remembered what God had promised. He remembered what had been told to him. He remembered what was due because God had promised to him. And so in confidence, he spoke up. You know, I think about life. I think about where we are as individuals and as persons in the body of Christ, as a church. I think of those things and I wonder sometimes, do we suffer from a lack of confidence? I know I do. But you see, every time I think that we look at that and we go to that place and we consider ourselves or we find ourselves lacking confidence, it's just because of that very fact. We are looking at ourselves for the confidence that we need. Can you pause and look at life and look at things and see a trail of things that seemingly that you took into your own hands that didn't turn out so great? Do we see a continuing trail of things that, boy, I messed that up again? When we do, I would submit that most of the time when we look at it, the problem is not because God has forgotten or God has failed or he is not worthy to be trusted or his confidence is shaken. It's because that we have chosen to do it on our own. But you see, we can have the confidence that Caleb had because, why? Because like David, when he faced Goliath, he looked at those scoffing at him, and even Goliath looking at him like he was a peon, there's no way he could stand in that battle. And David said what? The battle's not mine. It is the Lord's. And he he confidently approached the giant. We see Caleb here in the same situation. The land looked unconquerable. The mountain looked too high. But Caleb did not forget the promise of God. And in remembering the promise of God, Caleb did not allow his confidence to wane. It was unfading. And he said unequivocally, "I will anyway. Step out there. Take the risk. And remind Joshua of the promise of God." So we see Caleb's unforgotten promise. We see Caleb's unfading confidence. And then third, I want you to notice Caleb's unfailing strength. Look at verses 11 and 12. Here's what it says. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me. My strength now is as my strength was then, for war and for going and coming. So now give me this hill country of which the Lord spoke on that day. For you heard on that day how the Anakim were there with their great fortified cities. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall drive them out just as the Lord said." So Caleb, even at 85 years of age, he knew that God was with him, and he knew that God would honor his promise. And he says, "I will not fail. My strength will not waver. I will follow him. And I will take the land that God has already promised." I know that so many times that we find ourselves in places in life where our strength is absolutely non-existent. There are times when we lack the courage to not only not do the wrong thing, but we lack the courage to do the right thing so often. We find ourselves in a place where only the hand of God can see us through. But really, Paul reminded us that that's not a bad place to be, because Paul said that even in our weakness, he is made strong. You see, the focus has to be him. The focus has to be on him and letting go of self and trusting him and him alone. Caleb was at a place that it would have been easy to simply say, "You know what? I'm 85. I don't have it in me anymore. I don't want to climb a mountain. Just let me stay here in the valley. I don't want to fight the fight. I don't want to run the risk." But he didn't do that. Why? Because he knew that the strength of the Lord was his. He knew the battle was not his own. And he took it on himself then to say, "I will follow God. I remembered his promise. I remember that he made this promise to me, and I claim it. It's been 45 years, but that's all right. God has not forgotten. I am confident that he will finish that which he has begun in me. I am confident that he will make his word true. I'm strong enough." Why? "Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'll face the giant. I'll follow him. And then, fourth and finally, we see Caleb's unchanging God. You see, this is really what it's all about. You see, the focus turned to Caleb, but more than anything else, even though Caleb became the central figure in the story, just as we've seen every verse in every chapter of Joshua to this point, the main character in the whole thing is God Himself. He's the one. He is at the forefront. He is the one. Look at verses 13 and 14. Then Joshua blessed him, and he gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, for an inheritance. Therefore, Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord, the God of Israel. Even to this day, God has honored, and the promise has been withheld and kept because God is unchanging. You know, we think about the nature of God and the character of God, and we think about who God is, and we think about His omnipotence. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He's all powerful. He's over everything. He's stronger than anything. He's omniscient. He knows it all. His wisdom is beyond understanding. He's omnipresent. You cannot go anywhere and escape His presence. He is there. But then the thing that we need to, I think, oftentimes remind ourselves of is the reason why our confidence can be what it is, the reason why promises are written in the blood-stained ink of Jesus' blood, the reason why we can bank on anything He has said is because God is also immutable. He does not waver. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the same in eternity past. He is the same in eternity future. He is the same God. He is I am. I'm unchanging. And for us, the promise is clear. No matter what, God's in control. He's in charge. Conquering the mountains. Where are you? Where am I? Where are we? What are the mountains that we face, and what are the promises that God has made that we need to remember and to reclaim? And where do we find the confidence to go forward? We find it in the reality that He is in us and with us. Where do we find the strength? It's because He is all-powerful and we can trust in Him. And even in our weakness, He is made to be seen and to be evidenced as being almighty and strong. And then we need to rest and recognize the fact that He is not changing. Just as Caleb's God was unchanging, so is your God and my God. He does not waver. He does not move from side to side. He is truth. He is God. Father, we come to You now in Jesus' name, and we thank You for Your goodness and Your grace. We thank You for Your promise, and we thank You for Your word. And we thank You, God, that even in spite of who we are and what we are, You are still supreme. Father, as You've reminded us through Caleb being seen again, coming up and saying, oh, but remember, that, God, we can always look back and remember that which you have promised. And just as Caleb confidently said, God, I know that you are able, we can too with confidence say, God, I know your promise. I remember my confidence is in you. And then, God, I pray you'd give us the strength to move forward. And then, Lord, we celebrate the reality of the victory that you have already promised. And we hold to it, and we claim it in your name. Father, we love you, we bless you, we thank you for this time that you've given us this morning. And we surrender it all in your precious Son's name, the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're here today and you would say that I need to remember the promises of God, would you indicate that by raising your hand? Anybody? Yeah. Perhaps maybe your confidence has been shaken. We know that we can turn to Him. Amen. We can trust Him. His strength never wavers. Though ours should fail, His remains the same. God does not change. We can trust Him. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in that God as the only hope that you have because of sin that pervades this world that's been passed from generation to generation, you are born sinful before a holy God and separated from Him. It requires a transaction of the heart whereby you completely surrender all you know of you to the reality that God loved you so much He sent Jesus to die on a cross for you. And His blood that was shed is the agent through which your sins can be cleansed and forgiven. And He rose again to promise to give you the gift of eternal life. If you've never made that surrender personally and publicly, I would ask you, would you at this point in time, would you simply boldly raise your hand and say, I need Jesus to be my Lord and Savior? Anyone? My prayer is that we would hear what God says and listen and follow. And though we may feel 105, God is still the same. He does not change. We can trust Him. Amen.
You have been listening to the Grace Point Church podcast. To find out more information about Grace Point Church, go to our website at www.gracepointsc.org. You can also connect with us on social media through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. To listen to more sermons by Pastor Ben Hill, you can subscribe to this podcast, go to the media page on our website, or you can watch our service live on our Facebook page. Thank you for listening.